Welcome back to Mental Health Matters.
Okay, this should be pretty much near the end of our PTSD series, and we're going out with a bang. Today we've got a great episode, and you are listening to KRUU FM 100.1 on your FM dial, archived everywhere. You could email us at mentalhealthmatters@kruufm.com. That's mentalhealthmatters@kruufm.com. This is Dr. Scott Terry. I run the Ardent Counseling Center, the Ardent Community Wellness Center, and we're going to mention about the Fairfield Mental Health Alliance that we're directing and creating some really wonderful work here, which I'll let Rob talk about for a second. And
I'm Rob, and I'm the only non-doctor that's on the radio today. Mental Health Matters is our program, but Fairfield Mental Health Alliance is an alliance that's been in existence probably about a year now, and it's progressing. We have a steering committee now, and we have a purpose, and we have a vision, and we're moving into the community in raising the awareness of the mental health conditions here in Fairfield, the things that need to be done and how to get those things done. It's a very exciting thing. There are some very, very dedicated people here in Fairfield that are spending enormous amounts of time, of which none of us have. Well, we all have the same amount of time, but how you allocate it, they've been allocating their time. So let's get back to our program. Doctor, welcome.
Dr. O'Connell, introduce yourself. Tell us why we're talking to you and why you're so awesome.
Are you talking to me? Hey, greetings from Pennsylvania, the Anthracite Coal Region part of Pennsylvania, where I have my office. I'm in my office. A little bit about me, I'm a clinical psychologist, and I have a practice here in Pottsville. I also function as a prescribing psychologist in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So I divide my time between Pennsylvania and Mexico.
How'd you like to come to Fairfield? We need a prescribing psychologist here. One of our great deficits here in Jefferson County is we have one psychiatrist, and we have
Dr. Brooks.
Yes, Dr. Brooks. That's exactly
wonderful,
right.
Man, but very limited on time. Yes. And resources.
Again, he has the same amount of time that we all have, but the allocation is a different.
No. He only has a couple hours a day.
So the problem is, though, IWED doesn't have a license for a psychologist to prescribe.
No, they don't.
Doing the military. So I'd love to come, but maybe sometime in the future. So I do both those things. I also do forensic work, court work, evaluations. But most of the time I'm doing psychotherapy with whatever problem comes through the door. Several of my patients are from the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. I've treated those patients over the past couple of years. But most of my patients suffer from anxiety or depression or some combination of that and interpersonal problems or just situational problems, and often addictions, which is a sort of a specialty area for me. I see them for counseling, and we work as long as is necessary to get them to function where they want to be. And that's my MO. I recently did a book, if I could plug it, Prescribing Health, Transcendental Meditation in Contemporary Medical Care, published by a large international publisher, Roman and Littlefield. And the reason I did the book, it's very hard doing a book, editing a book. It's very tedious, and I'm a clinician, not a researcher, but I like to keep up on the research on TM and obviously other things, therapeutic. But I kept running into doctors and psychologists and psychiatric social workers and counselors, and none of them knew anything about TM and the often profound benefits that it can have for patients. And so I thought, well, I need to awaken and enlighten the medical and clinical communities. So that's why I did the book, and it's out now. So, and for those interested, it's a good read.
Again, what's the title?
It's research, but it's also has a lot of personal touches to it.
Again, the title of the book?
The title of the book, Prescribing Health.
Okay.
Transcendental Meditation in Contemporary Medical Care. The title came from David Lovell Smith, a family doctor in New Zealand who has his own book on TM and hypertension. When I was naming the book, I asked all the some of the contributors, hey, what should we call it? And he came up with that title. He's a medical doctor in New Zealand. And so I liked it, so I went with it, and the publisher liked it too. So hopefully your listening audience will love it too.
All right, just out of curiosity, since addiction happens to be a focus of my life, not only personal, but also what I try to do publicly, do you deal with addiction in your book?
Yes, in fact, about 20 years ago, I did a book called Self-Recovery, and it was on using TM and also Maharshi Ayurveda in treating addictions. Sadly, very few places picked up on it. But in this book, I have a chapter that I did. I contributed several chapters, but particularly the chapter on TM in recovery, maintenance, and relapse prevention for addictions. Addictions of all kinds.
Fantastic.
Because I've worked in that field for 25 years. So there is a chapter in there on summarizing everything that we know about it and some case studies of people who've been helped by TM, and as you know, personally and professionally, it's they say in the addictions field, the price of freedom is vigilance. So one has to work a recovery program daily, and I found that TM is really helpful to deal with urges and cravings, to prevent relapse, and also to meet some of the spiritual aspects of AA and NA and the other 12-step programs, which most of my patients are involved in. So. So there is there's a focus on addictions, on anxiety disorders, depression, childhood disorders, as well as medical disorders. The physicians that contributed to the book focus on those.
That's fantastic.
That's part of what the book features.
That's really fantastic, and I'll look up your book because you and I have just become very good friends. So,
well, that's wonderful. I made a new friend today on the radio. I didn't think that.
Absolutely,
that was going to happen. So that's nice.
Okay, you mentioned the word spiritual. Well, two things. One of them talk about spirituality, but the other is I just wanted to ask, how did you come to TM?
Sure, I got a great story because I started TM in 1973. I was a junior in college, and out of the blue, I started suffering from severe panic attacks and what psychologists call generalized anxiety disorder. I had both of them. And I saw the campus psychologist, was placed on medications, and Valium in particular was very helpful. But deep down inside, I knew I couldn't be on something like Valium the rest of my life. You know, the medication treatments and psychopharmacological options for all the mental disorders are really just symptomatic treatments. So I intuitively knew that I got to do something. And I saw this little poster on a telephone pole, and it had a picture of Maharishi on it and said, TM, reduce stress. I thought, hey, well, that sounds good for me because I've got stress through the roof. So I hopped on with a bunch of fraternity brothers. I wasn't in a fraternity, but they got me a ride down to the local YMCA, heard the introductory lecture, and actually I was annoyed by two TM teachers that were presenting because they seemed so blissful and happy and I was so miserable. But I thought, whatever they got, I want that. So a couple days later, I came up with $50, which was all the money in the world to me at the time. And instead of using it to buy beer, I used it as my initiation fee for TM. And I was very skeptical, quite frankly. Even when I learned the technique, first of all, I was standing there, and it reminded me of benediction for all the Roman Catholics out there, and I thought, oh my God, what is this? Is this another religion or something, or what's going on here? And then I thought, well, hey, if I got through benediction, then I I've survived being a Catholic and still enjoy many aspects of it, I can handle this. So after the puja, I was given my mantra, and I sat down, and the immediate thought I had was, this is nothing. And in many ways, I was right, but I didn't realize how much nothing could be something. And I started very skeptically, and couldn't stop thinking about the $50 I just spent. And the next thing you know, I got a tap on the shoulder, and my TM teacher, John Briganti, very nice fellow, also very calm and very serene. And I looked down, and I noticed that there was saliva all down the front of my shirt, and I didn't know it at the time what happened, but I had transcended. And I felt wonderful in the midst of all this, because we're talking about serious anxiety I had. In fact, I haven't met a patient in my practice that has had anxiety as severe as mine. And I thought, my God, for the first time in my life, I've actually relaxed and got past all that. And it was a wonderful feeling, so I was hooked. And initially, when I went to learn TM, I have to admit, I lied. I didn't say that I had anything going on mentally because I was afraid, if this fella knows that I'm taking medication or I've got anxiety, then he's not going to allow me to learn the technique. But his response when I eventually came clean was, oh, no, lots of people with what you have been helped. So I was relieved by that. And I started, and it really was for a while the only time that I felt non-anxious was during, I looked forward to the 20 minutes of meditation. In fact, sometimes it would get longer because I would get so into it, even though, so I didn't follow instructions exactly. But within, a month, I felt like a different person. And, it was something that, it was an experience that was unprecedented for me. And so I was hooked, and I've done it ever since. And then in 1980, I took the cities, and for the last 42 years, I've been doing it. And for the first 5 years, I didn't know anything about the TM organization. I lived in Reading, Pennsylvania. There was a TM center, but I didn't know that you could connect up with people and you can go to, lectures. And at the time, Bhagavad Gita meetings were going on, but I had never heard of that text. But I've always been spiritually oriented and realized through the practice of TM how mystical I am. And so as the stress cleared up, the profound experiences began. And I often wish them for my patients, because most psychologists, when you treat a patient, you just hope to get rid of symptoms or at least reduce them. Certainly not to have bubbling bliss and wonderful, profound experiences. I mean, mental health professionals generally don't talk that way about things. So I feel like I don't know why I started. I saw the poster. I just somehow intuitively knew that I should do this. And it was really one of the best decisions I made in the midst of a lot of chaos in my life.
Hold
that. That's my story. I'm sticking to it, sir.
Okay, hold that thought for just a second, because every now and then we have to interrupt to make sure we comply with the federal communication in that this is KRUU Radio, 100.1 FM on your dial. This program is Mental Health Matters, and we are broadcasting from Fairfield, Iowa, solar-powered radio in Fairfield, Iowa.
And today we're talking to Dr. O'Connor, who's a clinical psychologist, regarding PTSD and a brand new book that he's just come out with, which sounds amazing, looking at ways to address a number of conditions with this incredible technique that you're found personally so useful. And I want to really ask you, we were talking before the show regarding spirituality. And at some point, we should talk clinically about stuff, but I don't want to bore our audience too much with PTSD and my conceptions and my theoretical framework. But I think people would find it really fascinating, this notion of spirituality. And you said your brother is a Roman Catholic priest?
He's a Franciscan friar, yes. He's a priest. He's a chaplain in at Cornell Weill Medical Center in New York City, one of the finest hospitals in the world. He's the only Roman Catholic chaplain. There's a Buddhist and an Islamic chaplain and several Episcopalian and other religions. And he also learned TM when he was in the seminary.
And he didn't find any conflict with TM and being a priest, a Franciscan.
It's because it's a technique, he didn't. And the friars paid for it, his order.
Wow.
He lives cenobitic, as we say, you know, living in community. They paid for it. They thought, hey, go for it. And they were very, they're kind of a pretty liberal group themselves. And he loved the experience. The conflicts may come in at the level of the theology and, you know, other things, you know, out of which the tradition that TM comes from. But he's not particularly interested in that. He's very much a Roman Catholic priest. And but he also finds meditating extremely helpful, particularly because he's dealing with patients all day long who are, you know, usually call a priest in when it's very bad, and, you know, dealing with dying and dealing with extreme suffering. So it helps him with compassion fatigue, which is the term a lot of mental health people use, and just dealing, you know, being in a hospital setting, which is often anybody that works in one or has been in one is can be very chaotic. So, but he didn't find it at odds with his Roman Catholic faith, and that doesn't surprise me because there's a rich tradition of contemplative meditative practices that are associated with Christianity in general, Catholicism in particular, although as a Catholic boy growing up in 12 years of Catholic education, that was kind of glossed over in favor of memorizing catechism questions and the finer points of Catholic theology. But I was always fascinated by John the Baptist or St. John of the Cross or St. Gregory of Nyssa. I wanted to find out all about these characters that just didn't talk about Christ or religion or spirituality in the abstract. They talked from experience. And I remember the first time I heard my sixth grade nun said, she said, "Children, some of the saints experience the beatific vision." And then she went on to talk. I said, whoa, wait a second. Beatific vision? Could you slow down, sister? And what is that? And she said, well, it's the experience of God. Constant experience of God, and it can be had in this life. Well, I thought, what am I doing memorizing all these catechism questions when there's a beatific vision to be had? So I, sort of the seeds were planted then. And I remember as a Catholic boy, my first Holy Communion, there's a very big buildup, and you experience the Eucharist for the first time. And I sort of anticipated some, you know, big stuff happening, and I didn't feel that, and I felt a bit depressed, as much as I could understand depression as a seven-year-old. And so I felt a yearning from right then on, and then particularly after I learned TM and my consciousness started getting purified and I started getting some clarity, then I started a more serious search of particularly Christian mystics, but also Eastern ones of all varieties, Zen, other sects of Buddhism, Taoist, and never really stopped. I sometimes am frustrated because most of my patients don't particularly seem particularly interested in the spiritual aspect of things, but the ones who have alcoholism or drug addiction do. So, so we both came from a very strict Irish Catholic family, and my brother went one way, I went the other, in so to speak. And but both of us see the value of enhancing consciousness. And I've had some experiences with TM and TM cities that I don't really talk much about because I think if people heard about them, they'd think I was a bit wacky. But I've had them, and they've been wonderful. In even at other times when not feeling good at all, feeling frustrated or sad or other negative emotions, I always look forward to the experiences in meditation. Plus, as they spilled over more and more into activity, and so that's the that's my own spiritual quest. And as I mentioned before, I've worked with addicts and alcoholics for many years. And the 11th step of AA says we sought through prayer and meditation to experience the principles of the 12 steps and, you know, to gain recovery and sobriety. So when I deal with a patient who has an addiction, and lots of, by the way, the patients that I see who have PTSD coming back from the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, lots of them turn to alcoholism or turn to alcohol. And what I talk about 12 steps is relevant to them. So it fits nicely into any addiction paradigm that is associated with the 12 steps. So it has practical benefits, certainly, but also most people don't know what a spiritual awakening is. And I would talk to patients in an inpatient addictions facility about spiritual awakening, and they'd look at me like, well, that's wonderful, but what is it and how do you get it? And most places don't tell you how you get it. And they just say meditate or pray. And that's, you know, a nice general recommendation, but I found some specificity with the approach of TM.
This is Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry, and you are listening to KRUU Radio 100.1 in Fairfield, Iowa. And our guest today is Dr. O'Connor, or is it O'Connell?
It's O'Connell.
Yes. And you and I, you know, this is not an interview with me, but you and I have about the same spiritual and theological development, having come to the fork in the road. I took both forks, and TM has for me really reinforced the problems that I had in my 4 years in seminary of a constant dilemma going on in my mind about where is God? Is God inside me, or is God out there someplace on a theological spectrum? But TM has really been helpful to me in terms of finding the God within myself. And I think maybe you're saying kind of similar things, but
yes, I also with everything you've said.
Yeah, I also am a recovering alcoholic and drug addict of 32 years.
Congratulations.
And I'm a great 12-step program. I'd love to talk to you about that, but then Scott would get in on that because he and I have some disagreements on 12-step programs. Nevertheless, go on. What else did you want to talk about?
Well, I think what I really, and the reason I wrote the book was not to only enlighten the medical and psychological psychiatric communities, but to get them to get their prescribed TM for the patients, because of, we know the value of psychotherapy. It has its limitations, it has its benefits, it has its side effects like any approach. We know the value of pharmacotherapy or, you know, medications to treat various disorders. And as a prescribing psychologist in New Mexico, I've had the firsthand experience of seeing people get really better, undepressed after going on Zoloft or something similar. That's not enough for me, and I sort of assume that it's not enough for patients. Sometimes that assumption is not founded. But because of the global effects of TM, certainly it can help reduce symptoms. And the obvious one is anxiety and stress of any kind. And, you know, there's plenty of research out there without me having to rehash it, presented in the book, that TM can be very effective either alone or with other mental health or approaches or medication. But it's so much more than just symptom reduction. I always tell my patients, I say, TM is therapeutic, but it's not therapy. It's not psychotherapy. But it does have a synergistic effect, if you will, when combined with therapy and medication. And I just notice that patients really take off when we sort of hit I always tell patients, you got to hit mental health problems with everything but the kitchen sink. You know, 1 hour a week talking with a psychologist is, for some patients, a drop in the bucket. And so what I like about TM is you can do it yourself. That's why I called the first book I did Self Recovery, self with a capital S, but also you do it. You don't have to have a therapist there to do guided imagery or something. And it's very practical, and it has so many benefits besides reducing symptoms of mental health or psychiatric problems. It increases intelligence, and it increases problem solving, and it does so many other things. So it's it's wonderful for ego development, self-growth, and I think in a way that no other technique that I've come across, and I'm always looking and studying and going to seminars and what's ever out there to treat mental health disorders, that it has so many benefits beyond simple relaxation or even other meditation techniques that I've encountered. So the reason I'm talking to you today and the excitement that I have, particularly as I heard more about your program and what's going on in Fairfield in terms of mental health, is that it's just a wonderful addition to, and maybe at some point a standalone approach to not only reducing or eliminating human misery, but getting to a whole other level of functioning. When I took the city's program, it was like the back of my head blew off, and that's not a very nice image, but it was a positive feeling for me. And I thought, how can a human being feel this way? I had no idea that one could feel this way. And when I thought back, you know, 5 years, 6 years ago, I was in panic attacks, and now I'm experiencing these wonderful feelings. And that made me feel very fortunate. And I feel fortunate for my patients that actually listen to me, and when I prescribe this, they do it. And then to watch them unfold and grow with not only my psychotherapeutic help, medications if they're on them, and with the addition of TM. So that's very exciting to me. And as I mentioned, I've been prescribing medications for the past 4 years, so I know all about what they can do, and I have no problems with them, and in many cases they're very much needed. And I also know several approaches to psychotherapy of the 200-plus approaches that there are out there, but and I also know the limitations of all that. So when I think of a sort of a global approach to treat mental health problems and interpersonal problems and really whatever comes through my door to my therapy office, I'm very enthusiastic about having TM become part of that therapeutic mix.
Doctor, thank you very, very much. We're running out of time. You got just enough time to give us the title of your book, where you can find the book.
Okay. The title of the book, everybody's at home writing this down, I'm sure.
Yes.
Is Prescribing Health, Transcendental Meditation in Contemporary Medical Care. I have an 800 number if people are interested. Roman and Littlefield is the publisher, and their number is 800-462-6420. That's 800-462-6420. And I think people have been meditating for a long time, or, you know, newly initiated meditators or people don't even meditate would find this book fascinating, because when I look at all the research in it, I think, my God, how can one thing or one technique do all this? And it never ceases to amaze me, but it's a great joy, as they used to say, to be involved in that and getting that out there to the public.
Well, it's been a great joy for interviewing you, and we're out of time. Thank you very, very much. This is Rob Hubler and Dr. Scott Terry. You're listening to Mental Health Matters on KRUU Radio, 100.1 FM in Fairfield, Iowa.
And you could email us if you've got any questions and would like to be in touch with Dr. O'Connor. Our email is mentalhealthmatters@kruufm.com.
Right.
Right. There we go. All right. Well, thank you so much for the interview today, and I look forward to talking to you more at some point. And I think we could have a fascinating discussion just regarding spirituality a little bit more, or just talking clinical issues, I think would be a fascinating discussion.
I certainly would welcome the opportunity to come back and talk with you, fine gentlemen. It was fascinating for me, and a very nice encounter today.
Well, thank you so much, and you have a great day. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.